Today on episode number 543 of the School of Podcasting, we have a cool Because of My Podcast story. We're going to talk with Lauren Nelson, who is both a marketing manager and a podcaster. We're going to hit the G's in our podcast glossary. We have some cool insights in our podcast rewind, and I'm going to give you a hands-on review of the Blue Yeti microphone. Hit it, ladies!
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. I know you're busy during, especially during this time of year, and I just want to let you know I really do appreciate that. If you're new to the show, here's the deal. I've got 20 plus years of helping people understand technology. What I'm going to do is I'm going to help you massage your message. I'm going to help you tackle the technology, face your fears, and flatten that learning curve and get you on the road to a successful podcast. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can join the School of Podcasting by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Use the coupon code LISTENER and save when you sign up. Now, that could be on a single course if you just want to take one course, or if you want a whole bundle, just use the coupon code LISTENER, and I look forward to working with you in the future. Hey, before we get to the show, got to talk about my buddy Danny and Aaron Osment over at emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. They have a special going on right now. They will do your first four episodes for $15 each. And you say, Dave, when you say do my episode, what do you mean? I mean, hey, do you want an intro and an outro and any advertisements put in there? Done. You want to have your ums and your nos and your mistakes? Get those out of there? Done. Noise reduction? Done. How about balancing and dynamic processing? Done. EQ, done. Mastering, encoding, tagging, done. These guys are, it's a professional music story. See, I would have them edit that out. It's a professional music studio in Tennessee. They've been around since 2009. And here's another great thing. You want to get to know Danny? He does a free webinar. You can go to the site, again, emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. And you can go over there and you can sign up for a free webinar where they discuss how to use your equipment, how to edit, how to mix, and how to master your content. So check it out. Your first four episodes, $15 each. Then the price goes up to $40, which in itself is a steal. So the $15 an episode is a no-brainer. Just go to emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. Well, joining me, the one and only, it's awesome. She's the total package deal. She's a podcaster and a marketing manager, which is awesome. So we're going to talk a little marketing. We're going to talk a little branding. We're going to talk a little podcasting with the one and only Lauren Nelson. Lauren, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Well, first, let's dig into your podcast and find out a little bit about this, because this is interesting. It's called The Box. So you can find it at theboxpodcast.com. So what is The Box?
The Box is an audio drama horror series that features Addison. She's a 20-something, like so many other 20-somethings. She's bored. She's working a job she doesn't love, and she finds this box in a bookstore where she's working, and inside are all these weird journals. And she starts looking at them, and it seems like they've been written by these operatives investigating all these weird stories. And Addison, always the skeptic, believes that this is obviously some sort of mass participation fiction project. But as she reads these stories, she thinks, you know, people might have interest in it. So she creates a podcast around it. And with every story, she does a little research and shares that with the audience. And though she thought it was all fiction, as the story goes on, more and more, she's beginning to wonder if all this isn't real. It's creepy. I would not advise listening to it with the lights off late at night, but it's been a lot of fun.
Now, is this something with like cool sound effects and ooh-ah-ooh music and stuff like that? So it's a major production.
It is from time to time. There has been some sound effects involved, but by and large, because Addison is an amateur podcaster,
right?
You know, much like myself when I started, she's had some screw-ups here and there, but that sort of adds to the story, right? She was a former journalism student. She's figuring it out. But as the show goes on, you see the production value increase. You see
nice.
More and more going into it. And she kind of turns from sort of commentator to investigator, really digging into things that you wouldn't expect her to and finding out things that'll catch you by surprise.
Now, what inspired you to start that podcast? That most people are like, oh, I'm going to talk about my passions or this and that. You're like, I'm going to create this elaborate story. And where did that come from?
You know, I have always been a storyteller. Way back when, once upon a time, I wanted to be an actress on Broadway, realized very quickly I did not have the pipes for it. So I switched gears. I wound up studying communication in college, but I never lost that passion for storytelling. I was actually a competitive public speaker and debater during college. And then after college, you know, the natural transition into the corporate world in terms of storytelling was marketing and branding. And I love it. I have a lot of fun with it. But in terms of passion projects and side projects, podcasting wound up being the best possible avenue for me to explore. There was a low barrier to entry. I got to play with horror, which has always been one of my favorite genres. And I got to kind of show off my writing and my acting chops. So it was a natural transition, but it's been an absolute blast.
Nice. That's to me, I always tell people, you'll probably never work as hard, but you also have more fun than you ever thought. And especially someone like yourself, an actress, you got that creative gene going on. And that's half the fun is there's no rules. You want to make the story go this way, you can do that. So awesome. And again, you can find that at theboxpodcast.com. Well, when you're not making that, how long does it take to do an episode?
It depends on the episode. You know, you talked about breaking the rules. I know the general rule, especially in audio drama, is don't make it more than a half hour. Well, most of my episodes are 45 minutes to an hour long, which I actually got a lot of positive feedback on, that people liked that it was a little different. It was a little longer. It was a little meatier. But episodes varied. I had episodes that were 5 minutes long. I had one episode that was an hour and 44 minutes long. It just depended on what the story was for that specific episode. But generally speaking, it takes about, I mean, honestly, 3 days to put something together between writing and finding people to play different roles and then the recording and editing. Oh my God. I had no idea what I was getting into at first with the editing. It takes so long, and it's worth it in the end. But oh goodness, is it tedious?
Well, you're the marketing manager for CrowdSpring, and we'll talk about what CrowdSpring is here in a second. But I wanted to kind of pick your brain as a marketing person, and especially with like branding. Do you see anything that podcasters are doing that you just kind of cringe and go, "No, boy, I think I would have done that a little different"?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the great thing about podcasting right now is the space is wide open, right? You can spend $150, get a microphone, get enough to soundproof a small space, and put together a podcast that you're passionate about, which is fantastic. And there's a hunger for it. 1 in 5 Americans are listening to a podcast every month, and that's wonderful. But in the meantime, there are over 325,000 podcasts on iTunes platform, which means even though there's a hunger and even though there's this low barrier to entry, you have to find a way to stand out. And it's no longer a situation where you can say, if you build it, they will come, right? No one is coming unless you put the work in. And people are doing that. They are focusing on content. They are focusing on production value and making sure everything sticks. But there's more to branding than content. You have to go beyond that. You have to think about the visual, which is something that most podcasters aren't going to think about because we're really focused on what people are hearing. But in the meantime, the first time someone comes in contact with your podcast, they're looking at your cover art in an iTunes store, right? And if you are just one image in an array of images and a category that they're exploring, and you don't stand out, you never even get the benefit of them looking into what your show is about.
Yeah.
So it's really important to pay attention to the visual. And this is specifically important for anyone who cares about making any sort of money off of their podcast, whether you are someone who is interested in advancing your personal brand, or you're someone like me who likes audio drama and maybe wants to cover her costs while exploring a hobby, right? Because that cover art as a starting point for design winds up being a jumping off point for things like design for a website or design for a book cover or design for a t-shirt or stickers. I want to say that that was one of the most surprising things for me with the podcast. I always assumed, oh, it doesn't really matter what, you know, design you have. No one's going to care until you're more established. But a month and a half into the show, I was getting requests from people on Twitter who were like, do you have t-shirts? Do you have stickers?
Wow.
I was like, no. So, you know, I'm between seasons right now, and that's something I'm focusing on. But it's something that podcasters should pay attention to. You know, if you are using podcasting as a medium to advance your personal brand, whether it's you as an individual or the company that you work for, you want to make sure that the image aligns with the brand that you're creating so that you can transfer the brand authority from your brand or from the podcast you're creating to whatever else you're doing, right? If I'm a marketing consultant doing a podcast about the best way to market yourself, I should have imagery associated with my cover art that translates to my website, to the book cover for the ebook I just produced, to the badges I'm providing to people who are guests on my show. If I am producing an audio drama and there are lines that are really memorable that people laugh about and share on social media, well, I should turn that into a t-shirt. You'd be surprised how many people will buy that. And in the meantime, not only are you getting direct revenue from that merchandise, you're also getting word of mouth marketing from people who are, you know, sharing that merchandise by wearing it or putting on their it on their computer and growing your audience. So while design might not be the first thing you think about as a podcaster while you're worried about audio, it is really important to growing your brand and growing your audience, no matter what kind of podcast you're making.
It's kind of funny for me. You don't notice it until somebody doesn't do that. Like I'll look at somebody's show. If I do a search in iTunes, and a lot of times what I will do is I will look at the name of the show, look at the artwork, I'll look at the titles, and then in iTunes, there's that little button that says website. And I will go over and click, I don't know why, but I want to like go click on the website just to kind of like, well, what's going on here? And most of the time, right, somebody has their artwork and it kind of ties in. But when it doesn't, there is this whole like, wait a minute, is this the right website? Is it, there's this like weird disconnect.
Right.
So that's the part that's kind of like, most of the time people do it, but when they don't, there is kind of like, wait a minute. Because a lot of times somebody will do a podcast to promote, maybe it's a company. So like their main thing isn't the podcast. They're using the podcast as a marketing brand. That's where I'm like, you can dictate what that page is when you click on the website link. I'm like, have that logo there and a nice big play button and everything else. Anything else you see that people are maybe missing the boat on?
You know, I think it's something that people have talked to death about, but it is about consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
How frequently are you putting out the show? Is it reliably being put out? What is the length, right? There are genres in which you can play around with length, but especially if you're doing it for branding purposes, for a company or for yourself as some sort of consultant, there should be consistency there. Is there consistency in tone, right? And it all comes back to making sure things are aligned across every channel. And this is something people in marketing talk about all the time, right? If your social media accounts sound entirely different from your website, from the way your executives talk, it's not going to work. People are going to laugh at you at the end of the day. And the same thing goes for podcasting. No matter what you're doing it for, you need to make sure that the message is consistent across the board, whether it's what you're saying or how you look or how all of that gets communicated. You have to be consistent above all else.
Yeah, because otherwise you look like me and I'm all over the place. You can see my different branding. Like half the time I'm / Dave Jackson. The other times I'm / podcast coach. And the other time it's a mess. So I need to.
Oh, you do yourself a disservice there, sir.
I know. I need to go. Well, it's funny because there's a running gag where people go, well, you're the Dave Jackson. And my buddy Daniel J. Lewis just went and he changed his brand to the Daniel J. Lewis because somebody owned, I think, DanielJLewis.com or something like that. But that was something he could get on every single platform. And I'm like, you know what? I might follow his lead on that and do that and swap everything over. Well, how long have you been the marketing manager at CrowdSpring?
I've been there over the past year and it's been fascinating, frankly. I'd worked for other companies in executive positions as a marketer, and we had in the past used other crowdsourcing platforms for design. But when I started talking to Ross Kibarovsky, who's the founder at CrowdSpring, about his vision for the company and what's important to him and what's important in terms of helping the people who use CrowdSpring, it was totally different to me. It's very, very focused on making sure that anyone who's on the platform, anyone who's seeking some kind of design, finds the right design for them. 100% risk-free. You don't find something you like, you don't pay. But beyond that, the community itself, the creatives who are working on the site are incredibly invested in making sure anyone looking for a design is very happy. I used CrowdSpring myself. I wouldn't recommend it to podcasters unless I'd used it myself. That's how I got the current cover art for the box, was using a CrowdSpring design project. And the creatives on there were incredible. I would provide feedback, say, can you change this? Can you move that? Can you expand that? And I mean, incredibly receptive. Within a half hour, I would have an edit on an image they had provided. And what was really cool about it, you know, I got 150 different designs. I picked my three favorite. Wow. And then I turned around to my audience and said, hey, I'm going to create some new cover art for the show. Here are my three favorites. Which one is yours? And I let the audience pick. Nice. The future cover art for the show, which was really cool, right? You know, anytime you have a chance to engage your audience and make them feel like stakeholders in what you're producing is a good thing. And, you know, fortunately for me, they picked my favorite too.
That helps.
It worked out. But I think it's really cool. Not only does it give you a low cost option using crowdsourcing to get a high quality design, you get so many ideas for a reasonable price, and then you get a chance to bring your audience into the picture and let them help you make the show into what they want it to be, which is something, it's an opportunity you don't often get.
Well, let's talk about CrowdSpring. You give us an example of like what it is, how people use it, because we've kind of talked about how you used it, but let's go back to square one here. And
so CrowdSpring is a crowdsourcing platform for creative needs. So whether you need a logo or a website or an email template or copy for a website, basically you come to the site, say, this is who I am and this is what I need. We have 195,000 creative professionals on the site, and they will in turn provide their ideas to solve your problem. So if you need a logo, you're going to get dozens and dozens of different logo ideas. If you need a website, you're going to get dozens of web design ideas. At the end of the day, you have a chance to interact with these creatives, tell them you want changes. And when your project ends, usually after a week, you pick your favorite design, they get paid, and everyone's happy. If you're not happy, if you didn't find a design that works, you get your money back. No risk. And the cool thing there, too, is like the guy who designed my cover art was fantastic, truly fantastic, very, very receptive to all the criticism I provided. I will go back to him. Like in the coming year, I'm going to be launching some merchandise associated with the box. I'm going to go to him to design the shirts and the buttons and the stickers because he knows what I'm looking for. He knows me. And the cool thing about sites like this is that it provides really secure transactions. So I can go to him and say, hey, I'll pay you $200 for this sort of design. He gets back to me, he gets the design right, and then he gets the money. Not before. It's all incredibly secure, which is great because, you know, in a world where we have Craigslist, you can work with designers and kind of get screwed over.
Yeah.
Right. And designers can work on Craigslist and they can get screwed over. So the nice thing about sites like CrowdSpring is that you do have some security that you might not find elsewhere. I would say the one real thing about CrowdSpring that sticks out to me is the community, though, like the way people interact with people who are posting projects. There is a genuine desire to provide them with what they are looking for, to really meet the need. And I can't emphasize that enough because whether it was through my project or elsewhere, the conversations I've had with the creatives working there, they care. And that's not something you find elsewhere. It's fantastic.
Well, speaking of elsewhere, let me bring up the thing that's in everybody's head now. How is this different than 99 Designs?
Sure, it is.
The naughty word, I'm so sorry.
No. I get it, right? That is the thing that comes to mind. So this is the question I get asked most
often. All the time, yeah.
All the time.
Did you just open your mouth just a little bit right now?
Maybe.
Just a little bit? Okay. All right.
No, not really. I mean, for me, honestly, I think the difference is the way the communication takes place, right? You can go on 99 Designs, post a project, get a whole bunch of concepts, comment on the submissions and not get answers, not get revisions, nothing. That's really different with CrowdSpring. You are going to get a whole lot of engagement from every single person who submits a concept. If you communicate with them, they're going to communicate with you. And more than that, our customer service is unbelievable. The three women who run it, Carrie, Audrey, and Brittany, are just incredible. We call them the Powerpuff Girls in the office.
Excellent.
Because they are just intensely dedicated. Any question you have, any concern you have, they are going to personally drop what's going on to make sure that they can make things better for you right then and there. And I don't think you get that personal touch on a lot of other sites. I would say that community, that customer service is really what sets us apart. And frankly, in terms of quality of design, if you've got people giving you revisions, you're going to get a higher quality result.
Right.
And, you know, when you've got that responsiveness, you get that. And I think that matters in terms of the end product.
I want to hit back a little bit on marketing because I'm going to turn the tables on you now, because you said, sure, one of the things a podcaster should do is try to stand out. And you kind of are standing out already just by your format. How else are you with the box trying to stand out?
The format itself is very, very different from a lot of audio dramas, as you pointed out. The other thing is a willingness to break the rules. So there's a lot of best practices encouraged in terms of how you produce audio drama, and the box has strayed away from that at almost every turn. We do not have a consistent time that we have to hit, right? We're not trying to stay under 30 or 45 or an hour. It's however long it takes to tell the story that makes sense at that point. And that's been definitely a huge deviation from most of the market in that respect. The other thing is, with a good amount of shows, you'll see producers coming on as themselves instead of as the characters. But if you listen to the box and you listen to the finale, you know that Addison can't talk right now. So the social media accounts for the box have been silent since the finale, in order to align with what's happening in the story, which has been killing me, by the way. I wanted so badly to comment. But, you know, if Addison were to be on social media right now, she'd be endangering people. So she can't talk on the social media accounts.
Interesting.
And I think the other thing is, like, even the calls for support, right, are not structured as a typical, hey, donate to our Patreon because we're creating something great. Every single time Addison is like, hey, I'm on the road and I can barely afford this hotel, so maybe you should donate to my Patreon account so I can keep doing this investigation. It's all formatted specific to the show. And, you know, I think one of the interesting things with audio drama is, realistically, there aren't a ton of rules. There's a lot of opportunities to break things and make it work. And that space is uniquely fascinating because it's exploding. You look back a few years ago, Limetown came onto the scene, totally blew up. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They haven't come out with the second season. You have the Black Tapes, which is considered one of the gold standards in modern audio drama today. And even in the past year, the stuff that has come out, from Small Town Horror to Return Home to The Bridge.
See, the only one I've heard of is Welcome to Night Vale. All these things you're listing, I'm in my own little bubble and I'm like, I'm writing notes. I'm like, all right, need to check that out. Need to check this out. That's wild. Okay.
There's so much amazing stuff that is being produced. I mean, even in the past few months, there was a new show that came out called Mabel. And another one that's really interesting called, I think it's The Darkest Hour. And it's being released a week early on Shudder, which is a Netflix-style horror entertainment provider owned by AMC. And the show is terrifying. Like, genuinely has given me nightmares. It is incredibly produced and very well written and acted. But across the board, audio drama is just creating incredible stuff that I didn't know existed until, like, a couple years ago.
Nice.
Until you look, you don't know it's there.
Very cool. Well, can you think back, if we go to mainstream marketing, can you think of any campaigns, in history where somebody is something that that's broken the rules that really worked?
There are so many who have broken the rules, right? I think Mac is probably, if you look at Apple, they are kind of the go-to example of marketers who have just said, screw it, I'm going to do something different. They were one of the most recent brands in terms of like historical examples to say, I am going to break the mold and create advertisements that are genuinely unique. And it worked for them, right? They weren't necessarily talking about, hey, here's my product and then why it's awesome. It's, you need this. Here are things that could make that wonderful. Oh, by the way, here's a product that solves all your problems. Like they did it in reverse and it worked really, really well for them.
Do you have a favorite marketing book that you've read over the years that always like, do you have like a good, like for me, my go-to, one of my go-to books is Platform by Michael Hyatt. Do you have like a favorite book that if like somebody wanted to like, they're just getting in, maybe they don't have a marketing background and they're like, what's a good like marketing 101 book?
Honestly, I am such a nerd. I can't advise a book, but I will advise podcasts.
Okay. All right.
I highly recommend Startup, the podcast, because it really makes you think about marketing in a lean sense and really evaluate how marketing can function on a bootstrap budget, how you can promote yourself in unique ways. Pat Flynn, as always, is absolutely incredible. And he talks a lot about dynamic marketing and really positioning yourself as a brand. Neil Patel is another influencer who has a fantastic podcast who really gets into some of the nitty gritty. Marketing over coffee, I think, is the other one I was listening to recently. And duct tape marketing, always duct tape marketing. They are great at coming up with like short-term initiatives that you can implement that create immediate results.
Awesome. Well, if you are looking to read something, we do have something that you can read. And this is very nice of you. You guys put together like a little guide on how to market your podcast?
We did. We have an offer specifically for your listeners. You can find it at crowdspring.com/SOP. Not only can you get $25 off the design project of your choice, but we've put together a guide for you guys that will talk about promoting your own podcast and design needs and how to go about fulfilling those design needs, which is awesome if you're trying to take your podcast to the next level.
Awesome. And then like, what's the average price range for if somebody wanted some album art over there? What's the general price range?
Sure. It depends on what you're looking for. If you are a company that's launching a podcast of your own, I definitely recommend investing first and foremost in cover album art. That's going to be around $3.99 for you to get that done. Again, you get like 150 different submissions.
Right.
If you are more of a, like I'm bootstrapping this and trying to podcast for the first time, I'd recommend merchandising because that's an immediate ROI if you can launch that. And that's starts at about $1.99.
Got it. And the cool thing about that, it's a one-time fee. You know, it's not, you get it, you're done. And when somebody buys that, is there any kind of weird licensing that I have to, is it mine forever and I can do with it whatever I want?
It is. One of the really cool things about CrowdSpring is Ross Kimborowski, who founded the company, was a lawyer beforehand. So all of the agreements, all of the projects and the associated contracts were crafted by a lawyer with an eye for copyright law and making sure that different rights were protected. So once you get it, it's yours.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you sharing your marketing knowledge.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Lauren, for coming on the show. And again, that guide they talked about is at crowdspring.com/SOP. Couple key things from this interview. Again, realize there's no rules. So many people worry about, well, how should I do this? How should, it doesn't, just do it. There's no rules. You can do whatever you want. And realize again, she said in iTunes, you only really get to make one first impression. So having a good graphic can really, that's kind of key. It's not mandatory, but if you're taking this seriously, it's worth, and that's, your artwork can be a one-time investment. If you can be consistent, we're going to talk about Glenn the Geek today from horseradionetwork.com. Here's a guy that is consistent, consistent, consistent. So that if you can do it, or what if you're doing your podcast in seasons? That's fine. Just make sure it's a planned absence and that, you know, your audience knows that. And we also talked about the fact that some of the big, big brands over the years have broken the rules. They're the people that zagged when everybody else zigged. Think about the Apple commercials, or Allspice was another one. Remember the weird half horse guy? That was like, what? But people were talking about it. And so don't be afraid to think outside the box. And here, one last point on this. Think about Seinfeld. It was a show about nothing and is now considered one of the top television shows of all time. So there's no rules. The best time to start a podcast is right now, and I look forward to working with you.
Wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
If you've never met Nick Snapp, he does the Make It Snappy show. You can find it at makeitsnappyshow.com. And he is today's, I like to call these, because of my podcast stories. Right. So if you can answer the question, hey, because of my podcast, blank, you know, there's something that happened that wouldn't have happened, but it did because I have a podcast. Well, that's the story I'm looking for. And you can go to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact and send it on in. Just like, well, in this case, I was interviewing Nick for another podcast and I threw this question out at him. And here's what he had to say.
Yes. I mean, like from a general sense, because of my podcast, I think I feel like people know what it means to focus on what matters, because that's what my podcast is all about. Productivity is about focusing on what matters. But like, tactically, my podcast has taken me to Puerto Rico and I went and visited John Lee Dumas and Kate Erickson. I never would have had that experience. You know, it's taken me to around the country to Chicago and meeting just, gosh, it's like a band of brothers, Dave, you know, and you've been in this game a lot longer than I have. But I feel like everybody's there to support each other. And my network of connections and the people that I know now and the resources I can pull from, it's mind-blowing. So because of my podcast, yeah, it's taken me different places. But really, the relationships that I have now and the ability to basically get endless amounts of information from people that actually know what they're talking about is priceless.
In the news right now, they're talking a lot about fake news. And I always say a podcaster starts with two things. Every podcaster has this. Number one, no listeners. And number two, integrity. And so for years, I've been telling people the Blue Yeti is a horrible microphone. It's just, oh, why are you using a Blue Yeti? And it was kind of weird because I'd heard some people would use a Blue Yeti and they just sounded horrendous. And then I'd hear other people like Rob Walsh on Podcast 411. He sounded fine. Or Today in iOS, again, sounded fine. So here again, if I'm going to be able to talk honestly, I needed a Blue Yeti. So when they went on sale, I picked one up. And it turns out, I'd read about this, but there are multiple settings for the Blue Yeti. You can have it pick up just what's right in front of you. That's called cardioid. And that's the setting you would want if you're going to use a Blue Yeti. There's one where it will pick up the front and the back. It'll pick up the left and the right. It'll pick up everything. And I think that's when I've heard people that just sound horrendous, that's what's going on. And it's not so much that the microphone is a bad microphone. It's that it's operator error.
Right now I'm holding a pop filter between myself and the microphone, but here's the biggest one. If I touch anything on my desk, it picks up every little thing. And what it is, and I'm also leaning over my desk because it's got this little desk stand. And so most people don't like to sit like this. It hurts their back. So what happens is they sit back in their chair and then they turn up the gain. So they sound like this. And I'm way out and, you know, I'm getting a good signal into the recording software, but it just sounds like I'm a mile away from the microphone. And now if I were to touch the desk, oh, it's even worse, you know, and I'm just here holding the pop filter. And what this does is it takes away from that intimate sound where I'm right in your head, because now it sounds like I'm in a room and you're watching me, not listening to me. So what you want to do with a Yeti is you want to get right up on it, which is what I'm doing, and I'm turning the gain way down. And so I'm literally, my glasses are hitting the pop filter and I'm trying to get a decent signal, and that will cut down on some of the roominess.
Now, does that mean it's a great microphone? No, it's not. It's a great sounding microphone, but for the money, I still say The Audio-Technica ATR2100, if you're just starting out, is the best microphone. And here's why. The Blue Yeti, you need a thing called a pop filter. It doesn't matter if you're buying a $3 microphone or a $300 microphone. You need a pop filter. A pop filter stops the breath coming out of your mouth from going into the microphone and making really bad sounds. And if you're going to put it on a microphone stand that you move around, you need a thing called a shock mount. And the pop filter for the Blue Yeti is $59, and you can get kind of a knockoff one for $22. A Blue shock mount is $56, so that's $115 just for a shock mount and a pop filter. The Audio-Technica 2100, the microphone costs half that. So even if you get a knockoff for a pop filter and a the other thing, the shock mount, it's $52. So if you wanted a microphone, let's take the ATR2100. Dynamic microphone, works with a mixer, works with USB, and if you get a shock mount and a pop filter, you're looking at about $86. Because the shock mount and pop filter for that microphone is $10. And if I did that with a Blue Yeti, I'd have to get a Blue Yeti Pro, so it would work not only with a USB, but also with a mixer, and plus the filter and the shock mount, you're looking at $251 for a microphone that doesn't sound as good. So I can now say, give me a stack of Bibles, the Blue Yeti, not a horrible microphone, but not the best microphone for podcasting. And I can honestly say I do not recommend it. I would definitely recommend the Audio-Technica ATR2100. It's time for the G's. G's! Aw, oh, G's. G's, G's. Yeah, G's. It's time for the G's. We're doing a podcast glossary. The idea here is to help eliminate some of the jargon that people just spew. I was married to a nurse, and she would come home and say things like it was in a completely different language. And I realize sometimes we can do that as podcasters. We start spewing out this stuff. And I just wanted to go through every week, pick out a letter and go over them. And there are only a couple here in the G's. And the first one is GarageBand. Somebody would be like, oh, what'd you do? I just use GarageBand. Well, what's a GarageBand? Well, GarageBand is a free software. It's on the Macintosh platform. And you can use it to create a podcast. It's not a horrible piece of software. I've known musicians who have used it to actually make their whole album. It's really powerful. And it's got some great tools in it. Now, this is only my opinion. I feel it's great for assembling a podcast made of files that have already been edited. But if you want to edit out things like ums and you knows, for me, there are better tools. Because let's take Audacity, which is another free program that you can use on the Mac. You can highlight an and just press delete and it'll go away. With GarageBand, you have to make a cut before the and a cut after the Click on it. Now that you've got a kind of before and after, that'll highlight this little that you've just cut into pieces. Press delete, and now you have this big hole in your file that you now have to drag together. Not really hard to do, but when you have the word you know in your podcast 400 times, you're ready to just jump out a window by the time you're done. So not my favorite tool for creating a podcast, but if you're using GarageBand right now and it's working for you, it's a great tool. Just I think there are better ones. But if you already know all the tips and tricks and insights into GarageBand and it's working for you, please do not change. The other G I want to talk about is Glenn the Geek Hebert. That's right. Glenn gets his, he's in the G's. He has to be. He runs the Horse Radio Network, and he's doing a great job getting advertisers on his show. Now, he gets his sponsors to help promote his show and other actions. And so probably a couple months ago, I was talking with Jim Collison of TheAverageGuy.tv. He's my co-host for the Ask the Podcast Coach show, which you can find at AskThePodcastCoach.com. We're there every Saturday, AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. It's 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and that's 10:30 a.m. And Jim had gone through and gotten a custom app built for his show. And I said, really? And I said, how'd you go about doing that? He said, oh, it's easy. I Glenn the Geeked it. So Glenn is not only a person and a noun, but he's a verb. And what Jim meant by that is he got a sponsor to put up the money to have Jim's app built. which is cool because now Jim can have the advantage of just telling people to download the app, and he didn't have to pay for it. But when you open up the app, you see a splash screen for Jim's sponsor. Not a really horrible trade-off, really good idea. And that's kind of what Glenn does. He works with his partners. And so if you want to hear more from Glenn the Geek, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/Glenn. Now, Glenn has two N's in it. So schoolofpodcasting.com/GLENN and the number one. And that's probably one of my most popular interviews that I've ever done on the School of Podcasting. He really just pops everyone's bubble. And you just kind of go, wow, why didn't I think of that? In the fact that it works, you can also go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Glenn, again with two N's, number two, and schoolofpodcasting.com/Glenn, and the number three, because Glenn's been on the show three times, and every time knocks it out of the park. So that is the G's for our podcasting glossary, GarageBand, and Glenn the Geek. All right, Alex, I'd like to stay in this category. I'd like to take Glenn the Geek for 200. And I was on the Podcasters Roundtable. Now, this is a show from Ray Ortega from PodcasterStudio.com. And Ray has been nice enough to include me as kind of a co-host, along with Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast. And we do this show together. It's called the Podcasters Roundtable. And we had Glenn the Geek on talking about, you know, kind of getting your show out to the audience. How do you distribute it? And so here's a great clip, and this is Glenn.
Can I get on my soapbox now?
Please do. It's the roundtable.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is my soapbox here. This business is hard. It's hard. When you start out, it is not easy. You're going to feel depressed and dejected because people are not miraculously finding you in the thousands of podcasts that are on iTunes or wherever else they're consuming podcasts. You need help. And the way we did it 8 years ago and have continued to do it is we found help. We found partners. And what I call them media partners. We now have 70 media partners that we work with in our niche. That's 70.
Now realize Glenn runs his podcast like a business and works really long hours. And so when Glenn says it's hard, I don't think he's talking about the actual pressing record and talking. It's the getting people to find it, getting people to help promote it. You know, writing a book is fairly easy. I'm going to rewrite More Podcast Money, which is a book of mine in 2017. Writing the book is the easy part. Getting people to read it, that's the hard part. So podcasting is a lot of fun. It really is. But it's the getting people to listen to it. That's the hard part. And then the other thing I wanted to kind of clue you in on, I know a fair amount of people, I've heard probably three or four people that are changing their format. They want to do more of a narrative style, for lack of a better phrase, the NPR. And I'm not against NPR styles. I just don't have enough time to do that. I usually say it takes a 4-to-1 ratio. So a 15-minute podcast will take an hour. If you're doing an NPR style, hoofa. 8-to-1, maybe 10-to-1. It takes a lot of time, a huge amount of time. And so, and I also know I've heard some, quote, NPR style shows that aren't that good. I mean, I didn't particularly enjoy the second season of Serial. I thought it was kind of a lot of icing and not a lot of cake. And I've heard other shows like this. In fact, I talked a couple months ago about The Mystery Show. This is a show put on by Gimlet Media, which does Startup and Reply All. And they basically, everything they touch turns to gold, except The Mystery Show. And I said, the reason I don't like The Mystery Show is I didn't think it was any good. Again, a lot of icing, no cake. And I said, I bet the other thing is the reason that they pulled that show is if it didn't have a lot of listeners, those shows are expensive to make. Well, listen to this. This is from The Pub. This is a podcast about kind of the radio industry, but they also talk things about podcasting. But I always find it interesting. And in this episode, they're kind of talking about investigative reporting costs. Listen to this.
They also expressed concern to me about how resource intensive it would be to turn this thing into a full series. Investigative reporting is very expensive. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the reporting this year, I obtained something like 15,000 pages of federal and local court documents. And even though that stuff is all publicly available, it cost us like $6,000 or $7,000 just to get those documents. And I have like pending FOIAs with the FBI. And if they answer those FOIAs, it's going to cost, you know, thousands of dollars more to get the tapes that I want from them.
So first things first, to do investigative reporting, I don't think you have to spend $16,000 or whatever they said it was. Obviously, in some cases, maybe you do, but I want to make sure that people know that if I'm going to do a, quote, narrative style podcast, I don't need to spend $16,000. That's insane. But I heard that and was like, whoa, seriously, that's what's going on that side of the fence? And I just was like, wow, I gotta share that with you. So that was eye-opening. And that is going to do it for this week on the School of Podcasting. One of the cool things that happened behind the scenes, when I was talking with Lauren, and she had approached me because she was a listener of the show. And I was really honored that she was like, wow. I'm like, yeah. She goes, yeah. And I'm a marketing manager. I'm a podcaster. I'm like, oh, really? You might be a good guest. So we got on the phone, kind of did a little pre-interview. And so after our interview, I almost had a second interview. And if you ever get in front of somebody who is a listener to your show, be sure to ask them, why do you like the show? What do you think I should talk about? This and that. She said, you need to get involved in this audio drama. There's a whole other bubble out there that I know nothing about. So that's something I'll be doing in the future. But it was really cool to actually talk to a listener and go, well, why do you like this? And she kind of said, well, you seem kind of down to earth and you kind of tell it like it is and this and that. And I've had a couple people. Somebody left a comment on the blog this week. They said, Dave, you have your tell it like it is style. And I do. I just kind of, you know, I just do that. Speaking of telling it like it is, I want to give you some, share some insights in what's going on with a podcast. So I recently launched two podcasts as an experiment. One is called Best Podcasting Gear. You can find it at bestpodcastinggear.com. And the other one is the AlexaCast. And let's talk about the AlexaCast first. Now, I've always said your podcast is a recipe, not a statue. So I launched the AlexaCast with the tagline of follow the journey of an Amazon Echo user. And I've been using my Echo now for a couple weeks. And I thought about this and I'm like, really, what I'm doing at this point is I'm trying to get the most out of my Echo. And I thought that really should be a better tagline, because what if somebody's looking at a podcast, it's like follow the journey, or if it said get the most out of your Echo, which one do I think would lead people to click? So I called up my consultant, Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com. And I said, hey, Ryan, can I change my tagline from follow the journey of an Amazon Echo user to get the most out of your Echo, Amazon Echo? And here's what he said.
No one will punch you in the face.
Exactly. Thank you, Ryan. Nobody will punch you in the face. And I just want to share these numbers because people are like, well, what should I expect? Now, realize there is no number that makes sense, because my one show is about podcasting gear. And a couple episodes have 8 downloads. My last episode has 8. That's been out about a week. My best episode over there, the best microphone for less than $100. And for the record, all those segments have been played here. There's no reason. If you want to go over and subscribe to that, you can. But anything I do over here, over there, I do over here. The Blue Yeti thing I did today, it was an episode. So just so you know that. But I got 24, 13, 8 downloads. Now, the Amazon one has only been out a couple weeks, and I'm getting 31 downloads per episode, 32, my buyer's guide, 23, and that's it. So I'm getting in the 30s there, where the other one is getting in the 20s and the 10s. So now, also, I've always said that your podcast is the total number of downloads is the amount of value, one more time, value in the episode multiplied by the amount of time you spend promoting it. And so far, I'm not promoting these hardly at all. So, and it's fine. These are experiments. I'm playing with two different media hosting companies. One is Awesound and the other one is Omni Studio. And I'll talk about those more in the future. But just to give you some, hey, what kind of downloads maybe you might get? Okay, I'm getting 20 to 30, depending on my topic. And speaking of new stuff I'm going to be playing with in the future, as we get ready to head out the door here, I'm going to be playing with PodFunnel next year. Good old Harry Duran's, and there's the Podcaster's Toolkit that has come out. I'm going to play with that a little bit. Bunch of new tools. And if you want to get into podcasting, you got to jump in now. If you want to start in January, you're actually kind of late. So start today. go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Here's what you're going to get. You're going to get priority email support, and ask anybody from the School of Podcasting, and they will tell you, you get quick replies. You will get step-by-step, and by step-by-step, I mean step-by-step tutorials on how to set up your website, what gear, how to plug it in, how to add plugins, it's there, step-by-step. And if it's not there, which it is, we just had one last Saturday. We do live Q&A calls. Now, I get cued. I call them office hours, where you can just come in and look. If you were to do consulting with me, it's not the cheapest thing on the planet. But because it's group coaching, it's part of your service, and we do that twice a month. In addition to that, if you want to do some networking and bounce some ideas off people, we have a private Facebook group. So just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/start. If you're worried about it, you have 30 days. Sign up, and if on day 29 you're like, Dave, you know what? I don't know this is for me. Fine, I'll refund your money. No worries, no risk. schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, and I hope to see you on the inside. So thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you're enjoying your holiday season. And until next week, class is dismissed. Take care, and God bless.